If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 294. It's Monday, July 5th, 2021. Everybody, welcome back to The Boop Show. This is The Boop Show. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway. Hello, Brian Dunaway.
Oh, hi, Scott Johnson. How are you?
I'm all right. I got, I've been eating these here. These Blue Diamond almonds and peanuts. Oh. Salt and vinegar, and they're bold. It has the word bold on there, which means
bold.
A ton of it, which means I'm super salty right now. So you guys get ready. Salty Johnson in your face.
Salty Johnson all up in here.
That's right.
Oh, my God.
Look out.
Hey, I got to ask you, though. Yeah. What's the almond to peanut ratio in that thing?
Let's see. I'm going to say more peanuts than almonds.
Of course.
So probably something like 70-30. I think
I was just hoping beyond hope, maybe just one time Blue Diamond wouldn't rip me off and pretend like it's most half and half, you know?
They're here to screw you over. That's their job.
Yeah.
So
we got some extra peanuts. Show us, what should we do with them? How about we fill that almond container up from 30% to 100%?
That's right.
Peanuts.
Hey, by the way, I hope everybody had a nice 4th of July weekend if you're here in the States. If you're elsewhere, you probably don't care. But I guess a week ago, the Canadians had their thing. And, you know, it's okay. Have a little pride in your country. That's fine. You may not be perfect, but you can, you can go out and have some fun and whatever.
My God. The last decade or so, it's like... It's like you want to have pride in your country, but you don't want to have too much pride.
No.
Because you don't want to be accused of being a nationalist, right?
Yeah.
Is that a bad word?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. These days, you never know what's good or bad anymore. All I know is this. We ate poorly and had fun. I was at a family reunion all weekend, and I played a bunch of Mario Golf while I was on the road. That's a good time. And I got to tell you, the funnest time I had with the Mario Golf was playing wirelessly with me and somebody else's Switch. So we were playing across the room from each other. I had a whole bunch of matches and kind of our own little built-in tournament, and it was a blast. And if you like playing golf, Mario Golf's a pretty good game of golf. It's not a mind-blowing game overall, but if you're looking to just sit down and play some Mario-ass golf, boy howdy, is that what that is? So it was all right. We also played NBA 2K on Apple Arcade, which... Or 2K1, I guess it is. They have their kind of arcade edition of their sports franchise on there. That really surprised me, because hook up a couple of controllers to that thing, you're playing like high fidelity freaking basketball game on an iPad or a phone. It looked crazy good. I was really shocked by that. So we played a bunch of that. All that stuff's good. I'm just saying, if you're going to get out of town, do it in style. Play a little sports, you know, little sports games.
Yeah.
Sure.
A little sports game. Now, hey, but once you got to family time, you put your devices up, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, hell yeah.
Oh, yeah.
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 Well, until somebody got political or whatever, and then I pull them back out. It's like, oh, we're doing that, are we? All right, Mario, who's playing? Let's go. Bing, bing, bing. You political ones, you guys can be Wario. He's kind of a dick. You can be him.
He's kind of a dick. I'm going to let you be Mario.
Yep. You can be Waluigi. He's a dick. And, it's all fun in the hood. It's all fun in the Mushroom Kingdom until somebody gets their eye popped out. Anyway, it's all good, all fun and everything else. I noticed you have a note here about cleaning out your key mailer list, your list of devs that have sent you keys. And I kind of have the same problem. I got stuff stacking up, man.
So wherever you belong to Keymailer, keymailer.co, no secret there. If you're a streamer and you would like games for review, that's a great place to do it. Put you in touch with publishers, developers who are looking for people to put those games out there. And I've been doing that for a while for this show, and I have a couple of them that I feel like I need to catch up on because they were getting close to the time that the campaigns have ended. And I always feel bad when I don't play a game and somebody sends it to me and I kind of want to play it. Yeah. Like Sky Beneath, I've been playing that.
That game's cool.
Yeah. Mech Armada, also a pretty cool game. Got some, it's still early development, some VO stuff that kind of annoys me, but the gameplay is kind of fun.
Yeah.
And then Ranch Simulator. I say I'm going to play this all the time.
Yeah.
I got back into it again, and it just keeps getting better. I just feel like this is going to be, once it reaches full speed, this is going to be so much fun. It's just a silly, goofy Ranch Simulator game. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I agree. Well, I've been trying I have that game as well, and it's a little rough in those early patch days, but probably should check back in, see how things are going.
Right. But none of those things are ready for review yet for me. This, I just played a little bit of gameplay, threw it on my YouTube channel. That way I at least get, like, you know, a hashtag on those games so they at least know I'm looking at them and not just totally ignoring them.
Right. Right. You're doing the right thing, Brian. It's good. You're living by a code of ethics.
I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah, you're doing the best you can. That's all you can ask. All right. Well, now let's us do the best we can with this. Time to talk about some indie and retro news coming up here on the show. We'd like to do this each week. And if you have your own stories you'd like to share, head on over to boopshow.reddit.com and submit your own. Good news, everybody. Doki Doki Literature Club Plus is coming. And it's coming fast. Now, I've been told this isn't what people think it is.
Right.
People think this is a relationship, romance, freaking anime-ass game. And it is on the surface. But apparently there's something real wacko but just below the surface. And you're supposed to play it thinking you're getting one thing, and then you get something totally different. And I haven't played it, but John Jagger, among others, have told me many times, hey, Scott, you really should play Doki Doki Literature Club because it is the weirdest. It goes to the weirdest places you've ever seen in a video game. And I don't know what that means,
Yeah, it's supposed to be like a psychological horror game. I think Doki Doki Literature Club, when it was originally released, it was free, but this is the plus version and it carries a cost with it of, like, you know, $15 or something. And you're right. It looks like one of those relationship simulator things, and I was just like, I don't know, but it came out on June the 30th, so yeah. It just came out last week, right after we did the Boop Show.
That's right.
It's getting overwhelmingly positive reviews, and even when I watch the trailer, I can't seem to get it. I just don't seem, it's outside my comfort zone. And I post this poll in the Reddit Boop Show Reddit about getting outside your comfort zone, and I'm just like, I really got to force. I feel like I'm missing out, man. I mean, this looks like, I mean, look how many, these people are so excited about this game.
Yeah, no, it has its fans. But I think, again, you got to remember that the key here is that it's not what it appears to be. So right. In other words, it'd be like playing, I don't know, we'll use Nintendo again. Let's say you opened up a package and went, oh, it's the new, what are the little dudes that run around, little tiny guys? What are they called? Pikmin. Let's say you open it up and you're like, ah, the new Pikmin game. But then you start playing and then a portal opens up to hell and now you're playing Doom. It's a little like that. It's like really weird, out of nowhere stuff that I don't know personally, but I just know that there's some wackadoo business going on.
Right.
And it's not what you think it is. So anyway, out there, if you guys would like to check it out. Yeah, Frog Fractions is a good comparison, JC Calhoun. Hmm. That's another game where you thought you were doing an educational game about frogs and math, and it turned into a totally different world. There's something really cool about that when games figure out a way to do that, and Doki Doki Literature Club is exactly that. So check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not exactly that, because that's a different game. Anyway, hey, check this out. Also, the Fermi Paradox is on its way. Look at this. The Fermi Paradox is a choice-driven sci-fi narrative strategy game in which your decisions in one corner of the galaxy could end up messing up an entire civilization on the other end. Guide species through the millennium or millennia to help them explore the vastness of space, make contact, and perhaps create harmony.
I think you should play that trailer that I included over to the right-hand side of that on YouTube.
Yeah.
This is also one of those things. It's like I was trying to find games, because I didn't actually try to find games. A lot of games that were released this week are games outside of my comfort zone, and this is one of them. It's also receiving mostly positive. I'm not really usually into the choice-driven narrative strategy games. I mean,
is this a 4X game? Extent. Is this like a, you know, I don't know, like Civ in Space kind of thing or what? What is this?
I think it's a little less than that. I think it's a little more story-driven. I think there's a lot of reading.
Yeah? You think there's some reading involved?
like choices. It's like, oh, you made a choice. And now here's what happened, but not in an illustrative way. More in a, now you get to read this part of the story, and this is what happened. Play the YouTube video, and they kind of explain it a little bit better than I can.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking at the visuals of it now, but I would... I think I'm actually interested just on the face here. I like this kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it looks really good. It looks very intriguing. I do like the idea of kind of the butterfly effect or the Fermi paradox in this choice, in this case. Mm-hmm. And I'm interested.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm going to watch. And I'm going to watch for this. Looks cool. It's on sale right now.
Early access for $17.09, the Fermi paradox.
That's a good price. Also, it's got a demo, looks like. Yeah, you play the demo.
Does it have a demo?
Yeah, you want to play the demo? Get in there and play that there demo. Also in the news, Wonder Boy Asha in Monster World is coming or is out now. An Icon of Adventure is back, everybody. Remember Wonder Boy back in the day on your, what was the famous, was it the NEC TurboGrafx you played Wonder Boy on? Yep. I don't remember. Anyway.
You keep talking, I'll keep looking.
You become a real Wonder Boy in this game, and it says here it stays true to its roots as the latest part of the legendary and successful series that dates back to 1986.
Yeah, Sega. It was definitely a Sega game, so it must have been 86. You said what was that? What console was 86?
Master System, maybe. I think so. If it was Sega, it would have been Master System, I would assume. Anyway, if you like Wonder Boy, Wonder No More. Also, it was in Wonder the, no I think more. It wanted to say it was an arcade game for a while. Wasn't there a Wonder Boy arcade game?
It was on the Commodore 64, the Amstrad CPC, like you were trying to say, I think, the ZX Spectrum, the Master System. They had it on the Game Gear.
Yeah.
And get this, you could have played it on the Wii Virtual Console.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wii?
Get out of here. Whoa. The Wii.
Well, it's new again, everyone. What? So dive in, get in there, and see what you think. And a reminder before we get into our games this week, if you head to our Reddit page and you submit a story, we might just talk about it on the show, boopshow.reddit.com. Is it a new release you think we should check out? Is it some other kind of news that relates to indies? Let us know, boopshow.reddit.com. Okay, Brian. Boop. I've been putting this off because we had other stuff to talk about, but I'm so glad I'm finally talking about it. I'm here to tell you all about today a game called Wildermyth. Wildermyth. Yes.
Yeah. I've been waiting for this.
Have you had any other exposure to this game before now? Have you heard of it? Have you? What's your
deal? Yes. I mean, this is the game that I was going to play a few weeks back, and something else came up. I forget what it was, and I was going to circle back around to it, and I didn't get to. So well, Scott's getting to play the Wildermyth. Let me know what the worst.
Okay. Well, let me tell you what I think of this. This is a pretty rad game. It's made by World Walker Games. They both published and made it. Came out June 15th, 2021 at a price of $24.99. If that sounds like a lot for a small indie, maybe normally you'd be right. I think it is a steal because this game is on my short list for best indie game of the year. Probably right now, I think it's in first. It's really, really good. Here's the official description. Wildermyth follows heroes over their whole careers, from their pitchfork days to their powerful primes and on into old age and memory, meaning they die. In a party-based procedural storytelling RPG where tactical combat and story decisions will alter your world and reshape your cast of characters. Everything they say there, count those all as promises fulfilled because they do exactly what they say. And it is amazing. I think this thing is going to influence games like it for years to come. And this is a dev to just like keep your freaking eyes on because I feel like... in some very fundamental ways, they have reshaped what an RPG can be. And especially one where it definitely harkens back to what it might feel like to kind of run your own D&D campaign, but with, you know, characters that aren't other humans or, you know, players that aren't. You're basically just sort of running this thing, and it feels very D&D in some ways.
Right.
But not in, like, complicated, too much math sort of rules sort of ways, but just... kind of what it's like to create characters and have them be certain archetypes, have certain attitudes, how that changes the way things are played, the kinds of choices they make, the percentage chance of getting those things right or wrong. Like, there's not overt dice rolls, but kind of implied kind of percentage stuff based on who you are. Anyway, I think it's really, really great. What I love about it, here are some of the pros. For me, it's the dynamic story. It feels like your own personal, like I said, D&D fantasy campaign every time you play it, and it never feels the same, partly because it is never the same. Your characters are generated. Their names, their attributes, what they look like are all generated before the campaign, and you can change it and re-roll them and do all sorts of stuff. So you're never starting with the same people twice. The game is highly replayable. The combat is amazing. It's turn-based, which I love anyway, but despite this simple art style, which I'll get to in a minute, it just feels like it's full of depth. For example, one of the things I really like about it is the magic class in the game. I forgot what they call themselves. Anyway, basically the mage type characters, one of their chief abilities right out of the gate is, instead of doing, okay, so let's say you've got a bad guy 30 feet from you. Instead of sending a fireball to him and hurting him, instead, you basically possess objects in the world around the enemies. So you might take control of a bookshelf, and then that bookshelf is going to fire a bunch of books at you and hurt you and give you blunt damage. He might take over the fireplace and send fire your direction from the fireplace. So, like, there's this environmental stuff going on.
Now, do you get, like, beast vision where you become the object and you see from that point of view and then...
No, none of that. It's just a top-down kind of almost top like a tabletop-looking thing. So I should explain this art style for those who aren't watching it. It's very comic book. The story itself is very comic booky. There's, you know, word bubbles and dialogue and these characters. And the characters all have bad backs, basically. If you look at the style, they're just all hunched over, and I don't know why that is. And it's one of my cons of the game. I'll get to that in a minute. But also the con
is that what you're putting in your Steam review? Yeah. All characters have bad backs.
It seemed like it. I mean, the thing is, I can't complain too much because what they're actually pulling off with these simple character designs is nothing short of groundbreaking. And in any other format, like if they're going to do, you know, really complex 3D models or something, it's a way bigger production. Like, I don't even know how you'd even do that with a proper, you know, AAA freaking budget or anything. Like, what they've pulled off with these simple characterizations and little riggings is really, really neat. I'll get to that in a second. That stuff just feels really dynamic despite that simple art style. So I really like the combat. The combat, by the way, looks like paper craft, like everything around you, objects, walls, furniture, whatever. It's like paper cutouts. This is on purpose. This is the design style they were going for. And again, I think it serves the game fine aesthetically, but moreover, it serves it mechanically, because to do much more than that would require just so much more focus on the technical, and it would mean they had less time to spend on the just whimsical and amazing story stuff and everything else. So I have no problem with it from that perspective. But when you first see it, it leaves this impression of like, oh, I don't know. It's kind of, paper, like little paper people. Do I really want paper people?
The number one complaint I'm seeing from people is that it just can't deal with paper people.
Yeah. I don't know why that's a problem for people.
It's the paper people presentation that's causing problems.
Yeah. I don't know why people have such a problem with it. I don't have that big of a problem with it. But you can see this, by the way, this mage girl's doing exactly what I was telling you, like controlling the bookshelf and having it attack the boar and everything. Yeah. Then they get experience. You go level up. There's loot. And when you get the loot, you decide who gets it. You can rename the loot. So instead of the tree of life, staff of Beelzebub or whatever, you can go penis stick or whatever you want to do. You call it whatever you want. It's a lot like, now the closest comparison I would have to this in terms of how it feels to me, is Divinity 2 Original Sin or Divinity Original Sin 2. Big sprawling RPG. It's the same guys that are working on the new Baldur's Gate 3 game. In terms of like combat and just like structure, it's very similar to that kind of game. But where it really excels is in a way that even those games don't. Those games have kind of linear stories, and you can behave and do things within those stories to change them and end up in places you wouldn't expect. So it's not like it's not dynamic. It certainly is. But this game does things dynamically with the story that blow your mind. It makes you feel like you're playing in a world that is going to change a billion different ways every time you play it. It never feels like it's pre-written, pre-done, pre-whatever, which is kind of crazy because these little cartoon comic characters are all laid out in comic style in a way that looks like it was all drawn together, but they're not. These are dynamically assembling themselves. The dialogue is being dynamically created, and it's all based on your actions in the world and what you're doing and where you want to go next. The feeling of real progression and therefore like loss when a character dies or ages out or quits or you accidentally lose them or whatever it is from your team, it's way more meaningful. You actually get attached to these people, which is the strangest feeling because, again, they're just little paper dudes.
Right. Those little paper people.
Yeah. But that feeling of loss and gain is really, really cool. I think the UI is really awesome. Like the actual user interface stuff is very well done. If I had any cons, it would be I'm still not totally in love with the comic style or the papercraft stuff. But again, it's less of a problem once you see how strong the systems are, because then you realize, oh, well, you want to go simple here because anything more complex would take away from why this game's amazing. So I kind of have a problem with it and don't at the same time, if it makes any sense. I had a bigger problem with it as a first impression than I do now that I've seen how deep this game is. It's currently got overwhelmingly positive new and current reviews. So their entire review system is like off the charts positive. I've yet to read any negative reviews. I'm sure they exist, but they're killing it on Steam. People love this thing and rightly so. Some of the music gets under my skin. I'll actually play a bit of this so you can hear it, because there's not much else audio to play. It's a lot of there's no voices except for grunts and yells and stuff. So here's some of that. Check it out. It's just a little
on the nose.
I don't know if it's even on the nose. Like, here's some more. Some storytelling. It's maybe just too baroque, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
Not broke, but like, it's like, oh, hey, you know how there's a time era where this music was a thing? Guess what? That's all we're going to do. And it's fine. It's like, again, very nitpicky and small.
Right. I mean, does it change like that type of music when you're getting into more action or is this, you know?
If there's a battle, it totally changes and that sort of thing.
Okay, good.
So it's something you can turn off or down or, you know, substitute your own, whatever you want to do. You also want to do as good a job as you can of involving the entire team in these fights, or else some are going to get more XP than the others. So it's just this little thing that sort of pokes you every time there's a fight where you're like, oh yeah, I should probably, let her hit something. Cause if I don't, she's not going to get as much XP and they're going to outlevel her or whatever. They also, in these cartoon panels that you're seeing in the video stream, if you gave that lady a new sword, she'd have the sword in these cartoons.
Like, interesting.
In some ways that technical limitation is actually really rad. Because, yes, it means less work because it's all 2D assets, but they've done the work to include it in the world and have it affect you. If you wear a new helmet, the helmet is in these cartoons from now on, as if they were just part of a cartoon that was already pre-written. But it's not, because if you give it to a different dude, she wouldn't be wearing it. So there's a lot of that kind of thing, a lot of choices to make. Those choices have real impact on the world. I think this is a love letter to RPG fans of the purest form. Like, I really freaking love it. There's an overworld thing. If there was one more complaint, not really a complaint. I'm just getting my head around it is the problem. I just find it a little obtuse. There's like an overworld mode where in between missions and traveling to different places and doing different things, there's an overworld thing with, like, you know, you basically set up defense on one of these chunks of land, and that takes time, and there's like a clock, a world clock, and as that time ticks away, you put up your defenses, and then okay, fine, you go to another part of the world, and while you were gone, some creatures are now attacking one of your other parts of the land that you control, and so there's like this overworld almost RTS kind of thing happening. I don't even know,
and that's more like the board game part, right?
Yeah, that feels like risk or something. Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that's my favorite thing in the world, but I'm also not super far into my second run where I guess what I'm seeing, I'm starting to see the value of it. I'm understanding the mechanics better, and I'm not hating it like I thought I would. I ended up killing a guy. Go ahead.
What is the meaning behind Wilder Myth? Is that
it's the name?
Is that the world? Is that the sword they're after? What is it?
I think it's just a fancy fun name for a.
This is the fancy fun name. Yeah. Okay, so maybe you guys haven't gotten to real villain.
Yeah,
okay.
It's Wilder Myth. WILDERMYTH. And it's just right. I think it's just for funsies, you know.
It's not Wilder Myth, right?
No, definitely not Wilder Myth. Van Wilder Myth. Yeah. Anyway, the overworld stuff, it gets better with time. Not really a complaint. The truth is I don't have much to complain about. I'm so blown away and bowled over by this thing, completely fallen in love with it. And right now, it's my top recommendation on Steam. I just freaking love it. One of the best games I've played in a long time. Top contender for my indie game of the year. As I mentioned, I'm going to give this 9 out of 10 movable fires. And that would make sense if you played the game.
May be the highest score I have heard Scott mutter yet.
It is, since we started giving scores. Yeah, totally is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, John was the one who suggested this, right? Or was it Bo?
John did. And Bo and I were both like, what? Really? This thing looks weird. And we were both like standoffish about it. And then we played it and we really like it. And I don't want to overstate it or oversell it, but it's really singing my tune in a way that I didn't expect. I wish the characters didn't all have bad backs, but that's just a look at them. They're all hunched over all the time, no matter what you're doing.
There's something about that. There is it's because the way the board is set up, maybe, and the fact that they're paper, because if you stand them straight up, you'll have some perspective problems. So you kind of have to have them hunched over and bouncing. Right.
I mean, I think it just makes for a much simpler process, probably a simpler pipeline for them to get the thing done technically, you know?
Right.
But it's super rad. By the way, you can set up a ton about your difficulty if you want to just sort of have a story good time and not have too much challenge. You can play that way. If you want to make it harder, you can play that way. You can have up to 5 people on your team. You can split up sometimes. Weird dynamic stuff, like someone will leave for a while to see their parents, and then you'll find out later that they're not coming back because they love it at home. And you can decide if you want to go back.
Reminds me of another game I played. Oh, what was that? Because I always thought that was weird. I'm like, what?
Yeah,
you can't just leave in the middle of. That's not how.
But that's how it would go in real life. In real life, they would. They'd be like, oh, I don't know if this is for me anymore. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff you deal with. A lot of different infighting, like. Some of your character, and you can choose a lot of this. It's like, well, do you want these two to be rivals? They'll help each other, but they're kind of what's not the word rival? What do you call it when you and your sister are vying for attention? You are competing.
It's a conflict escalation.
Whatever that is, but you can say you can have that, or you can be like, ooh, I really like this girl. I'm going to treat her good or whatever. And
there you go. City nails it with rivals. Your rivals.
Rivals. That's what I meant. Rivals.
Yep. Sibling rivals.
Yeah, so there's some of that in here. It's so funny watching this person's story. These characters are none of mine. I don't have any of these looking people. And that just tells me once again how diverse the game can be.
Right. I do like that.
It's really, really neat.
Even if they all do look like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Whatever, I'm just saying.
They kind of do.
It's fine.
You're not wrong. Again, you know, this is a matter of taste. But a slightly different art style. It's just a little bit like some kid in junior high drew these a little, you know?
Right.
And he's a good artist, but not quite there yet, that kind of thing. And I don't want to besmirch anybody who did the art here, because it's obviously an aesthetic choice, and they went with it and whatever. But, you know, if these looked more like serious comic art, I might be more positive about the art. Or if it looked more like... even more stylized and went like full. I'm trying to think of a good example. You know, like all the Clay games, the Clay Entertainment games, they all have a certain look to them. Like they would do a killer art style pass on this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is kind of how top down. He's almost paper like, right? That Clay game, Don't Starve. I mean,
yeah, he totally is. You could have done that.
And I think it would have been. Thing.
In fact, what I would like to have happen is for Clay Entertainment to watch to play this game and then get really awesome ideas about their own take on it and then make a game that's based on these systems. That would be amazing. Anyway, it's very cool. I loved it. Again, the name is Wildermyth. You can't miss it on Steam, and the reviews are through the roof.
Stellar.
Yeah, I think maybe a demo as well. Hold on. Everything's got demos now, so let me just see if that's true.
That doesn't sound like right.
This has... take it back. There is no demo. But there is... Let's see. Is that true? Yeah. No demo on this game. 100% worth that $24. Like, not even a question. Just an easy buy for me. And I guess it was in a very short early access, but I didn't see it. I didn't know about it. But apparently that was a thing. And it hit its 1.0 launch on, looks like, Monday the 22nd of June. So it's really hasn't been that long.
You could have gotten the beta. Yes. Okay. So I see what happened. So it looks like it looks like it might have started on itch.io and then eventually found itself on a Steam store.
Mm-hmm.
Lowest price in this game has been $15.99, 20% off.
Yeah.
Probably when it launched.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find a negative review and I can't.
You can't do it.
They just aren't in here. It's that good. Anyway, I'll stop blabbing about it now and recommend it one final time. Wildermyth, go get it. You will not be regret. If any of these things I mentioned sounds interesting and you like this kind of stuff at all, freaking run, don't walk. All right, Brian, tell me all about Hellpoint. Hellpoint!
Hellpoint!
Yep.
Well, Hellpoint's an intense action RPG taking place on a derelict space station with some dark sci-fi atmosphere. This was developed by Cradle Game and published by Tiny Build. I received a Steam game code from the publisher through Keymailer that we talked about earlier. Thanks, guys. I've been sitting on this one for a little while. It came out in, I think, around July 2020 last year. But it's still pretty fresh. I don't think everybody knows about it. And it's on Steam right now for about $19.99. Yeah. That's usually the pretty good sale on that one. Normally, do you like Souls likes in space, Scott?
I don't like Souls likes, and it doesn't matter if they're in space. If that makes you,
I hope you don't mind exploring a massive space station occupied with otherworldly demonic creatures bent on your destruction. How about that? And then dying,
sure,
and losing all of your progress points. They call those axions. They're not souls.
There's some portals, right? I see some portals in this game. Some kind of
portals. So those portals are kind of like rips in the space. The space station that you're on, this derelict space station where something bad has happened, is around a black hole. I don't know if it's actually going around it or not, but there's a black hole involved, and there's these space tears. Anyway, those space tears have a name. I can't recall what they are, but you go up to them. And that's where you use your little soul shard, your little souls.
Yeah.
But they're called axions, right? Yeah. So you kill a creature, you get experience points, and they come in the form of axion. If you die, you lose everything. You lose all of them. We don't lose your armor. You don't lose any of your equipment.
Yeah.
But
it's very
souls-like.
You lose soul-like shit. Yeah. You get punished for losing. You don't want to lose.
You get punished for losing. But that's okay, because all you got to do is just make your way back to where you last died. Pick up your stuff, no problem, easy peasy, except every time you die, a ghost spawns, a ghost of you.
Whoa.
And he hangs out, he stays there near your equipment.
Yeah.
And you're not really near equipment, but near your axion drop. And he's tough as nails. He fights way harder than anybody else.
Get your shit back or whatever. That makes sense.
Yeah, so he'll start exploring. He'll start like going around in different areas, and so you'll show back up and like, where's my shards at? And he'll come flying around the corner, running full steam at you. You're like, oh, shit. Yeah. And you have to, you know, hopefully you can do a good roll. This game has some really good responsive controls. There's always important in Souls-like in the combat to be able to roll, dodge, and break those shields when you're attacking. All that stuff's very important.
I like when you die, it says spawn deceased, which makes it sound like the comic book character Spawn has died.
It does, because what happens is you actually start this game, you're organically printed in this pool of goo. That's how you show up. So you're this bland humanoid you're basically nothing. You're just, you don't have anything, and you have to work your way through and earn by killing these other creatures that are in the ship and taking their armor and stuff, and you get shields, melee weapons. Later on, I haven't gotten this far yet. Now, this game is about 15 to 20 hours. I've put in about 6 hours so far. And, you know, some of that's kind of slow progress because I'm trying to really take in everything and what I'm doing. So I'm probably not even a fourth of the way into the game yet. So this game gets a lot bigger with the story than what I've seen so far. So keep that in mind when I'm reviewing this game today. It's a very early review for the game for me. Full game is out. You can totally go play it.
I wish these games were like Souls-likes in general. I wish they would rely less on the fact that your death means running back and killing a bunch of shit you already did. And then, you know, kind of the redoing everything kind of. And I understand what they're aiming for. It's like, hey, it's like arcade games in the 80s. It was never easy. You had to, you know, work your ass off. And then if you died, well, you had to start over. Like, I understand the appeal. But I wish that that was less of that, and the game was still difficult. Like, the fights themselves are about timing and parry at the right moment and dodge at the right moment and learn what your enemies are doing. And maybe death is common or whatever, but don't make me go all the way back and all the way back to the thing.
The good thing is, this does carry some of the better Souls-like DNA, which is where, as you explore, really important part of Souls-like is making sure you explore everywhere, because what you're doing is you're opening up shortcuts. So you may get to a point where it's like, oh my God, it took me forever to get here. But luckily, I opened that door along the way, and now to get back to my stuff, it's going to be super quick.
Yeah.
So if you're doing good exploration in Souls-like, and the Souls-like map design is good, which most times in this game it is, because this space station is huge from what I've seen so far. It's been a lot. There's a lot to go.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful, by the way. This game is gorgeous. I like
the look of it. How come that dude doesn't have a shadow, though? It's weirding me out, because everything else in the game
the black
is
hole
shadow.
Is sucking it up. I don't know. Okay. I don't know, but right here. Oh, I got the column. I don't know if you saw me had the column there. So that's big-ass column from the ship that I picked up and I was able to equip. Now, my stats... I'm unlocking a shortcut here, by the way. My stats aren't well enough yet for me to effectively wield this weapon. So, like I said earlier, you know, you get your axions and you can upgrade, you level up, and you can choose it with your stats. You can apply it to your strength or health. Got to have a certain level of strength to be able to wield that weapon effectively. Now, you can get a penalty for it, you know, and I can walk up and hit some people and do a crappy job of it, just like me and you had like a column. Not going to do very well.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
Yeah. So Hellpoint is the name of the game. And it visually, this nailed it for me. Did you see me just go up that ladder?
Oh, that was really cool. Like zipper ladder. I like the overall look and vibe of this. It's got a nice,
It reminds me of exploring.
Your dude freaks out when his body hits the ground and loses its mind.
He does that sometimes. Now, I don't know what part is glitching and what is not, because I played this on the PC, but I also have it on the Xbox.
Yeah.
I'm going to try it on the Xbox as well. There was times where I would be shaken, just like my character would be like, what's going on, man? What's going on, Spawn?
Yeah.
Chill out, buddy.
Yeah.
Don't freak out, man. Is it because I'm near the black hole? I don't know. But this game, Hellpoint, is gorgeous. I love it. I love the atmosphere. I love the sci-fi stuff. I wish it had more music. It's got some music, but it really needs to be more. I know it's space, but I need like some industrial equipment or some really big space hum as I get near places.
Well, let's play some audio. Let's see what this sounds like here.
Yeah, it's kind of muted.
All right. Let's see what we got.
No, actually, this might be a boss fight, so there might be a lot of action.
Never felt like this world is upside down. Serve a different system.
I love that kind of stuff, dude.
Yeah.
This vibe is totally my jam.
Do as thou wilt.
This is good. I like that a lot. All right, here's actually some gameplay here. Let's play that.
This is me fighting a boss, I believe.
So this is you boss fighting?
Slashing.
It's got some good, meaty, chunky, fighty stuff in there.
This.
I like it.
There's so much satisfying about this game. Now, it's not satisfying to die relentlessly and keep having to, you know, get back to your loot. But the slashing, the killing, the eradication of the enemy is very satisfying. The going up and down those ladders is the coolest thing because they're like little energy ladders. And you just grab a hold of the little line and it just goes, just zips you up and makes this really cool noise. And you come back down. And it's just, there's a ghost. There's the ghost. There's my ghost. I'm living with my ghost.
Carrying his, the big old column of his own self there.
Yeah. So the last time I died, I had that column equipped. And so when I came back, I had to face that. So if you die with your best weapon or a powerful weapon, you may be screwed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really like this game. I played so many pixel games lately that I just wanted something different. I wanted something pretty. And I was looking through stuff and I'm like, man, this game just looks pretty. And I was right all the way through. It's just totally engaging. And it reminds me of single player Quake back in the day. It just reminds me of that, yeah. But not
grimy, industrial, weird alien looking shit. It's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. You're like, you're in some kind of hellscape. And what's going on is during one mechanic that I didn't even talk about is there's a time mechanic going on, but you're orbiting this black hole. And when it gets to certain areas around the black hole, there's a timer on the, or not a timer, but there's a little icon showing you that when it aligns and when you get in a certain area adjacent to that black hole, it spawns certain characters, like certain, you know, bosses or bad guys. They just all of a sudden show up, and so you have to kind of like be on your toes for that kind of stuff. Also, it can reveal secret rooms and stuff that you only see during those times. It's a neat little mechanic. I really haven't explored it too much because usually I'm just trying to progress through, beat the boss, go to the next thing. And almost all the creatures in this game, you feel so tiny. Your little guy is so tiny against everything.
Yeah, and your ghost is a dick.
Yeah. Oh, ghost, I don't like just him. An absolute dick.
Yeah, he sucks, dude.
Because, like I said, it is so hilarious because I'll forget every time. Every time I'll die, and I'm like, oh, crap, I died. I got to get back to my crap.
Yeah.
And so I'll take off, and I'll start running that way, and I'll totally forget that the ghost guy is going to be there.
Yeah.
And I'll come running into the room, busting in the room, going, I got this, no problem.
Yeah.
And so I'll run halfway across, and all of a sudden he'll just pop up out of another room, just come running straight at you, and you're like, gosh.
Yeah, he's a little bit green. He moves in ways I haven't seen you move yet.
Yeah, he moves. That's because I don't know if his stats upgrade compared to yours, but yeah, he seems to be making a lot better use of his skills than me.
Yeah.
But yeah. Hellpoint. It's on neat. Steam. I think it's, what's that now?
It seems neat. Seems like a game to play. I might check it out.
Yeah, 15 to 20 hours. Normally is like $34.99. I don't know if the end game, because I haven't gotten there yet, I don't know if the end game will satisfy enough at that price point, but it is $19.94 on Steam until the 8th, July the 8th. At that price point, I think you're going to have a lot of fun if you like Souls-like. I'm going to give this one $7 out of $10 at $20. And then...
yeah.
So it's going to get... So at $20, you get 7 out of 10 game. At $34, maybe a 6 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know...
That's fair. A little sliding scale, sure.
Yeah, a little sliding scale there.
Mm-hmm.
But I've enjoyed what I've played so far. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back 6 hours in. I'm hoping to put in the whole 20 hours, learn more about the story. The story is revealing very slowly. Mm. And like I said, once again, when you do things for review, you play things a little slower. You try not to rush through it.
That's the truth. I do my best not to. Well done.
Some days you want to, but you know.
Yeah. Now the rest of you, for who weren't listening, that's Hellpoint. And my game.
Hellpoint.
My game is called Wildermyth. Okay. Now you've been told 50 million times and you don't have to ask anymore.
And I didn't even mention the game has a local co-op, online co-op, some PvE.
Some peeve. Some good. PvE. Oh, yeah. All kinds of ways to play. Play it the way
you
want.
Yeah. If you get stuck somewhere, you can invite a friend in. But I've heard people bitch because they're like, oh, if I get invited in to help somebody, I don't get any of the perks. I don't even get into the storyline.
Right.
It's iffy. I don't usually play the multiplayer part until I completed my single player homework. So
all right.
I'm not even looking at that yet.
Fair enough. Now this.
It's me, Mario.
Time to play Guess Our Game. That's right. We have games that are old, and we like to bring them up, play audio from them, and see if the other guy can figure it out. And this week is no different. I'm going to start with mine, Brian. This is from the year 2009. That's all the hint you get, all right?
Oh.
Enjoy. Oh, whoops, it didn't play. Here we go.
What year? Oh.
2009.
Got it already.
Yeah, what do you got there?
That's either got to be some Peggle, right?
That's some Peggle, all right. Peggle 1, baby.
Peggle 1, baby. You play that in the World of Warcraft waiting room.
Yeah, they used to have a mod for Warcraft. When you fly, you could play Peggle. They got rid of that pretty quick. They also had,
God, I played so much Peggle.
Yeah, Peggle was great. Peggle was a hell of a thing. There's some games, a recent game called, I always remember, forget the name of that thing. Anyway, it's like a little RPG spin where you send like a thief into the Peggle, kind of a Peggle world, and you try to smash treasure chests and stuff like that. And I forgot the name of the damn thing. I thought I talked about it on the show. Did I not?
You may have. Now, Peggle's an EA jam, right? So you can get it as part of that.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I think Zuma and Peggle both ended up at EA, and I think it's part of their... I know
they bought PopCap, who made Peggle, but I didn't know if the old Peggle game was...
God, I love PopCap, man. PopCap and me were best buddies for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, for a while there. Tally reminds us in the chat, F-E-A is what she says. All right, let's move on to you stumping me. Any hint here?
The year was 1999. We were all worried about 2K.
Y2K, yep. Y2K, baby. All right, I'm going to play it. Here we go. See if I can figure it out.
Rifle order mothership initiated.
Oh, I already know it. I already know it. This is Homeworld.
Yeah, that was funny, man. That was two of the fastest ones we've ever done.
I played Homeworld so much. That music and those voices will never leave me. They're part of my being. I love so everybody, part of the reason that I really like Shipbreaker so much and I talk about it all the time is that game feels like it's in that universe. It's got the same, very similar kind of vibes going on. And I could not get enough. Oh, I loved Homeworld so much. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I was like, either this is going to drive him nuts or he's going to guess it right away.
Thing about Homeworld, though, for me, it was less about the RTS and the gameplay, which was all good. I didn't care as much about how the game played. I cared about how it made me feel.
Right.
And how it made me feel is like, this is a rad interpretation of galactic bullshit. I love those big capital ships, the big, tall, long one, banana-looking ones. I love the sound of this game, the tracers, all the ships left behind that would slowly fade with time. So much cool stuff, man. Freaking loved it. So good, so good.
All right. So good.
All right. Yeah, it was the fastest we ever did. Well done.
Yes, but that was just amazing.
Yeah.
We must have just hit the right ones.
Hey, good news, everybody. If you stick around after the show, you're going to get some games. And not only are you going to get some games, three lucky winners will win the following games. Or they'll win one of three. We'll get one of each of... No, how am I trying to say this? You might win one of these games at the end of the show today, okay? So stick around for it, because someone might win Control on Steam, a fantastic game.
That's a great game. Yeah, that's a big game.
Newish big game, yeah. Big AAA game. If you want the Control, you can get it here. Hellpoint, the game Brian's playing. You can get Hellpoint.
Oh, yeah.
And Graveyard Keeper. These are all games that are near and dear to our hearts.
Yeah.
So
I love
around.
All three of those games.
Yep. Three lucky winners at the end of the show today. So stick around if you're live. And if you're at home going, oh, man, I'm not live for this.
Hey, oh, man.
I'm just saying, maybe next time show up. All right. All right. That's it for that. Now, what do we got here? How about this email here? Oh, yeah. I got an email. This is from a listener who sent this email into boopshow@gmail.com. Their name is Scott also. And he says this. Hello, Scott and Brian. I'm a new listener, and I started playing Loop Hero on Scott's recommendation.
Yes.
Very fun game. At one of my many treasure battles, I noticed that I was losing health. That's when I yelled, a mimic. This made me think of all the mimics I've run into in my adventuring and gaming. What are some of your favorite mimics? I love the trolling that that From Software does with their mimic in Dark Souls. Love the show, though, of course. Thank you, Scott. All right, well, dude, I can tell you they all piss me off. There's not a mimic that doesn't make me mad. Everything from tabletop D&D style mimic to just some game where the treasure chest suddenly starts running after me. Hate them all.
Right.
Hate them all. Hate them all. So, Brian, do you have a favorite? Because I hate them.
I'm kind of the same way. Maybe I'll say maybe something like Prop Hunt, where the people become the mimic. Maybe. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. You know what? That's okay. That's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of always interesting because that's fun. That's fun to me for some reason. Yeah. But I'm with you. The other way is kind of like, son of a, are you kidding me?
Torchlight and Torchlight 2 had a ton of mimics. I remember just being pissed every time one happened because I'd be like, ooh, a treasure chest. No, just another angry little shit mimic.
Yeah, just.
Hate those freaking things. But I love the thinking there, dude.
They are humorous. It does reveal something about myself when I encounter a mimic. So I do in some ways find it humorous.
Yeah. They're kind of fun to draw, I'll say that.
Right.
I enjoy drawing them. I don't like running into them though.
No. It's almost like random encounters when you're playing like, you know, Pokemon or something. It's just not now.
Yeah, not now, please. I didn't.
Not now. I came in for gold. This.
Yeah, I don't want to get chased by you. Forget it.
Right.
Anyway, if you guys have your own mimics at home that you hate or love or have another question entirely, you can send it to boopshow@gmail.com, as well as leave messages and posts and things over at our Reddit page, boopshow.reddit.com. I think that's it. Now, before any y'all leave, remember, here in a minute, we're going to give away these games, three games, brand new games. Available to you on your Steam profiles. A code will be sent to you. Simple stuff. Just hang around till right after the music, and we'll give you your codes. And you guys are going to win, and we'll do a random poll. It's going to be fun. Followers get a 2x chance of winning, by the way. So if you follow the channel or you have subbed to the channel, you will have a greater chance. Even if you do it right now, you'll have a greater chance when we do this. So watch for that. That's coming up right after all of this. In the meantime, frogpants.com/BOOP is our website. You can always give me and Brian a follow on our Twitch channels. I'm over at Frogpants. Brian's at Brian Dunaway. And the show can be found at Boop Show on Twitter. Find me at Scott Johnson and him at the Brian Dunaway. Brian, speaking of you, is there anything else you'd like to say before we go?
Sure. Me and Kit London of the community get together every Thursday nights at 5:30 Eastern Time and play Graveyard Keeper, which we're giving away at the end of this show.
Yeah, that sounds great. Game's pretty cool. Manage your corpse as well, everyone, because it's your ass on the line, if you know. That's going to do it for today's programming. We'll be back next time with a brand new show. Until then, everybody within the sound of our voices, have a good one. We'll see you then. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.
Sometimes I do. Almost do Elmo.